You're listening to Bigfoot Live, starring Thomas Gardy, the world's most respected authority on the phenomena known as Bigfoot. Sit back and relax as we take you on a journey into the world of the unknown. Believer or skeptic, man or woman, you will be mesmerized by real people telling real descriptions about real encounters. Fasten your seatbelts, America. It's reality radio at its finest, and it starts now.
In 1967, my whole life changed. I went to the libraries to find out all I could find out about Bigfoot. We went out to prove that this creature exists.
I turned, I saw this thing standing by my gator. You see something big like that, you figure, well, maybe it'll come charging.
There were these prints up and back up.
When I saw the actual footprints, I realized they were something special and probably Sasquatch.
Yes, Bigfoot lives.
We're looking at something that's probably over 500 pounds.
We would hear screams, like breaking day. We'd hear these siren-type screams.
But it is
size and everything else, they just were too realistic
and
to be
frozen like a tree.
Trying to manufacture
the hand
and jump into the woods.
Female.
Bigfoot creature lives. Bigfoot lives.
Right now.
At www.searchingforbigfoot.com.
What you think I've seen? Something strange, you know. Sasquatch sitting on the cypress knee, and he was talking to Moxie Joe. Found a party they're gonna have. And out from the St. John's walls, Sasquatch doing a brand new dance, and he called it the Bigfoot Star.
Well, good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Marco Bill on the Bigfoot Live broadcast. And folks, it's that time of the week again. It's time for the Wednesday evening Bigfoot Live radio show with our host, Mr. Tom Biscardi. If you'd like to join us in our live discussions during the program, just dial in and join us at 347-996-5877. That's 347-996-5877. Just dial in and wait for the moderator to announce your area code and bring you on to the show. And now, everybody, the man who put the big back into Bigfoot, our host and renowned Bigfoot researcher, Mr. Tom Biscardi. Good evening, Tom. How are you tonight?
Well, good evening, everybody. This is Marco Bill and Alex. And
I'm
Alex.
Bill, Marco.
Tom will be a little delayed getting on tonight. He's a little, he's been out, as you know, he's been on some special operations, and he's a little late getting to where he can, where he's got cell phone coverage. But he'll be there. He called me a little while ago, and he ought to be there within about 5 minutes to where he needs to be to connect with the show anyway. Well, Alex, how have you been, my friend?
Doing well, Marco, doing well. Just getting my computer back going here. I blew the fuse with those wonderful Christmas lights.
Well, how would you like to do the shout-outs for the chat room and send out our little well wishes for all our friends and family that are not doing too well out there? Would you like to do that? I'm going to try to get a couple of our first guests here. I think he's out in the field there somewhere, and if he has trouble dialing in, we may have to get him later, too. I'm not sure. Could you do that for me?
That might work. Let's start off with the chat room. You know, right now we got Bill Green in there. We got Mitch is in the chat room and online waiting to speak. Awesome. How you doing, Mitch? That's MogionMonster.com, where Mitch is from. We got Dave-O, of course, putting in the shout-out for the Crypto Four Corners guys. And then Jan's in the chat room. Jan must be feeling better. And Steve, the gentle giant. And then JJ. How you doing, JJ? Of course, Marco and myself are in there, of course. Mike K in Ohio. We've got Neil French from the UK. Neil coming all the way from the UK. We got a couple of guests out there, too. So if you guys want to log in, we'll say howdy to you. If you guys have any questions, put them in here, and I'll try to get to them. I'll get get Marco's attention if I can notice the questions in the chat room. And then, you know, we want to do a special shout-out to some people that have been under the weather. And, of course, Jan in our chat room just went through some heart surgery, so keep trucking, Jan. We know you're doing good, but we want you to do better. You got my mom out there. She's fighting the big C, and she got some good news today. I guess the tumors are shrinking. One of them is dying, so that's pretty good. No better prognosis than she knew she would. And then, of course, Don Creel went in the hospital just recently, and we think he's home recovering now. And, of course, Connie and anyone else in the Bigfoot Live family that's not feeling well, we want you to get better. So give us a little ring, and we'll add you to the shout-out list. Marco, are we ready to go yet, or should we move on to our second guest?
What happened to our first? This is Tom.
He's having trouble dialing in. I'm going to try to three-way him in.
Oh, I'm here.
No, Tom.
This is Tom.
Tim is having trouble dialing in.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I know you're not. Anyway, he's on the phone with me right now. He's trying to dial in, and it's not working, so I'm going to try to three-way him in. If you could just do a couple of shout-outs here, and I'll get Tim on another phone.
Okay, I will. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, how you doing? This is Tom. I've been underground all day, literally underground, between that and helicopters and everything else and a public place right now. It's the only place I get some coverage, and I'm listening to music, and it's about 28 degrees where I'm at. But nevertheless, I promised Tim I would be on the show here today, and there's people flushing toilets and everything else around this joint. Unbelievable. But nevertheless, I'm here, and what an exasperating day I've had. I've been incognito the entire day, me and the boys, and we got some great stuff coming up. Just can't talk about it right now. But I am enthralled about having Kim Fasano, who is out in the field, and hopefully Marco Bill will be able to get him in. How are you doing, Alex?
Doing well, Pop. Doing well. How about yourself?
I've been exasperated. You have no idea. Today has been one hellacious day for me. Me and the boys, we've just been crazy as hell all day. We've been in a lot of different situations, and I just can't believe what's going on in this country today. It's just totally amazing. Just can't talk about it right now, as you know. But nonetheless, things are going to be fine. I'm really excited that Tim is out there in the field, and hopefully we can get him on the phone. I thought I was going to miss this interview, but I didn't. Is Tim on yet?
No, Marco's still trying to get him.
Is he?
I don't think Tim's here yet.
Okay, well, tell me what's been going on over there in Arizona.
Well, Mitch has been up and back and forth up in the hot zone the past week and a half.
That's it. Huh?
And he's got the cameras out. He's got some new sound equipment.
Yeah, what happened with that all of a sudden, too? Did you find out? Hello?
With what? With what, Bob?
What happened with those, he collected all those cameras. Did you ever find out what happened?
He's got some great photos, but nothing conclusive. You know, I don't want to speak for Mitch. He can speak for himself. I think we're going to lose you again, either that or we're going to lose me.
And I know. It's just nuts. Ladies and gentlemen, this is going to be a hoot because we haven't done this since we've been out there. And at the same point in time, I've got to tell you, this guy is he's an interesting guy, okay? He's probably one of the only guys I've met out there. There's other people in Florida that do go out, but not like this guy. This guy goes out more frequently, and he's got a mouth on him, and he's not afraid to use it. And I'm saying that in the right manner, too. The guy gets out there into the brush, and he investigates. He researches, and he wants to get down to the bottom of this to see what's going on also. Just wish I had better time and availability where I'm at. I just don't, but this goes to show you. This is live, live radio, ladies and gentlemen. This is what we're all about. What else
is up in the field by himself, too, huh, Pop? Just like someone I know.
Yeah, well, you know, like you. He's been putting out an invitation to a lot of those people, but he's finding out, you know, bullshit walks, money talks, the old situation. There's all these people say that they want to get out there and they want to do, and we find out that none of them do anything. They all talk big stories.
Ready to go. I'm going to put you on now.
Hi. Is he on?
Yep, he's on. Go ahead.
Okay. Hey, Tim, how are you, son?
I'm doing really well, Tom. How are you?
I'm doing well. I've been incognito all day, me and a couple of my guys, and we've been kind of literally underground all day. This is the first time we've had any daytime, and it's been cold as hell over here. We just can't talk about it, but the hell up with me. Tell me what's going on out there. Did you get any luck yet?
Well, yeah, that's, we did have some technical difficulty here getting on. What I did is, it was really fantastic. 2 days, two nights out in the field, and it could not have gone better as far as activity and things that were going on. And I was the only one out there. I haven't seen another human being since Monday. And at nightfall, as it was getting dark today, I was following a trackway, and I got close to a swamp area where I was hearing a lot of branches break. Now, keep in mind, in Florida, the trees we have here don't have branches sticking out of them. So when you hear things snap, it's because something is stepping on the branches that are laying on the ground. And there was a lot of that, and I moved in. And to make a long story short, I got a video from long range. I was in wide angle at that time. I got a video, and I captured it on my video camera, and it was on the other side of a creek, a dried-out creek bed where there was a burn. And I saw a vertical, dark object move right to left at a pretty good rate of speed. It wasn't white or tan. It was dark, and it would have had to have appeared over that burn. It would have had to have been at least 7 feet in height. And I ran through the dry creek bed and came up over the top of it, and you could hear the thing. It was now probably 100 feet away. I found out it had maneuvered its way around the barbed wire, and it probably follows that path on a consistent basis. And I saw the thing, tried to zoom in on it, and where it had run, I saw two prints. I zoomed in on one of the prints. You can clearly see five toes on the print. And combine that, the print with the audio and the video capture that I got, I'm convinced, I'm absolutely convinced, and considering that this was an area that has been cultivated for several years now by a research team out of Central Florida, and I was given a tip about this area and as far as this particular creek area to go into, and I was not disappointed. I even stated on the video that I shot that I can't take full credit for this because I was basically tipped off to the area, and I'm very happy about the result. In fact, I was so excited about it that I did not spend the night out there. I left the area and came home because I wanted to download everything as quickly as I could onto my computer so I could take a look at it. I've just finished downloading everything. I really haven't had a chance to look at any of the videos, but I'm really stoked about what I'm finding. I'm convinced that what I saw could not have been anything other than a vertical creature of tremendous height that can move swiftly. This was not a deer. Deers aren't 7 feet in height even if they stick their tails up. And we have white-tailed deer here, so the object would have been white. And this object was dark. And I'm very happy with the result. Yesterday, I came across another trackway where I was getting some good audio. Today I did some tree knocking, didn't really get any response to it. Tonight when I went to the camp after it had gotten dark, which is really weird because between the sighting area and back to the camp, I had the impression because I was hearing things out in the swamp, something was stalking me laterally, like something was pursuing me. And I think I've heard of this phenomenon before where after they see something and they're moving back, that they actually get followed by the creature. And it kept
exactly. Tim, let me explain something. I don't mean to interrupt, okay, because
yeah,
I don't have
ahead.
Much time myself. But what you're talking about is a typical situation where these creatures do parallel you, okay? You stop,
right.
They stop, you move, they move, and you can hear the footfalls in the leaf litter, or in your case, whether it be branches that have been fallen or what have you. I got to tell you, Tim, this is fantastic news. I hope to God that you share that with our listeners. And send a link over to Marco Bill that we can show everybody and share it with all our people around the globe. I want to tell you, you weren't on the radio yet. I've been underground virtually all day today, and we have an operation that's going on, me and my boys, and we just came on top of the ground between that and helicopters today. We've been quite busy ourselves. And I didn't want to miss this for the world because I wanted to hear what you had going. And I got to tell you, I praise you, and I share in the praises that finally there's another Bigfoot hunter out there that doesn't just sit on his laurels. He goes out and does it and does research the right way. And I want to tell you something else. I seen what you had on your blog. I seen the comments. There's about, I don't know, I think 9 comments or something. Have you seen them?
No, I haven't been on the blog in a few days. You talking about the one where I said that I was going to be on the Biscardi radio show?
Yeah. Well, there's last time I looked, there was 9 comments.
I'll have to go to that.
And all the people out there who did comment, I want to tell you very much. My heart goes out to each and every one of you people. My respect goes out to each and every one of you people because you, the people that are the real Bigfoot researchers and the people who have the right attitude and which way to go. You're not sitting there on a damn computer and blogging and being a naysayer and sending daggers out to people. Although I got to tell you this, Tim, I did get a couple of calls from some people that know you, and I must tell you that I hung up on them. So I just thought I'd let you know that also.
Oh, well, that's okay. I've had some people say they left comments and said that you're right. I just went to it. There are 9 comments. Wow. Somebody said you're very much like Tom Biscardi, and I'm like, well, I guess I could take that as a compliment. Tom Biscardi happens to be a very successful man, and when you consider most of these namby-pambies that want to leave bad comments are probably working at some $6.50 an hour job. Well, who are they? And who are they to tell people to have dreams and vision what they're capable of doing in this great country where we have an incredible amount of freedom and unseen anywhere in the history of this planet? So people who have the desire and have the will and have the goals and want to go out and do these things, they're a cut above, like you were saying, the average namby-pamby or whatever, but I don't worry about that. I posted a video about my New Year's resolution for 2011 and how I'm going to head in a really very positive direction. I'm not going to speak ill of anyone. If I don't like someone, I just won't mention them. And I'll stay focused on what I'm doing. And what I do best is research. You remember the movie Jurassic Park in the beginning where you have the paleontologist who's digging through the rock? And he pulls out that specimen that has the insect encased in the tree sap, and he talked about the other paleontologist, and he says he and I are alike, we are both diggers.
There you go.
Yeah, that's true. I'm a digger. I get out in the field. I don't sit there and try to analyze.
Yeah. I appreciate that, and that's the reason why I've taken the time to talk to you in depth. I appreciate the kind words that you've said. But you know what? It's all about one thing. It's here. We're here to do one thing, and that's to prove that this creature exists. I know it exists. I've had all these sightings. My team members who've been with me have had sightings, whether it be a physical manifestation of one of these creatures or the things it's left behind, i.e. Hair samples, footprints, or they've heard it with their footfalls on the leaf litter or what have you, or in the snow. So we know what the world's all about. We know what's going on in the world of Bigfoot. And I'll tell you this, it's people like yourself and all the people around the globe who listen to Bigfoot Live radio show and has been with us for so long. And you don't believe me. What you need to do is go to his blog there, and I think it's www.ladiesandgentlemen.skunkapeflorida.com. He said a nice little piece there, but look at the comments down below and see what the people from around the globe and what their comments were. Don't believe him. Don't believe me. These are people who know us. These are the people who know what we do for a living. Me, it happens to be full-time, and I'm sure Timmy will be working himself into full-time. It's called necessity right now because everybody has to make a living. You know, the stimulus program hasn't come down to my way yet. I don't know about you, Tim, with this president in office.
I haven't seen a dime of it.
Yeah, me neither. So I have to get out there each and every day. And I got a word for everybody out there in the Bigfoot world, okay? It's finally coming to full circle now. They all said, oh, Biscardi was only in this for the money. Bullshit, okay? It's called reality and necessity, okay? Me and my guys don't eat for free. We don't travel for free. We don't sleep for free, okay? Somebody has to come up with that money. And just way, in this case, it happens to be me and my people and my company. Okay, and God has been good and has blessed us in the right manner, as it's going to be with Tim Fasano. This guy, he's no flake. He's real. I'm going to be going out in the field with him, with my crew, in very short order. Send out that stuff to me, to Marco Bill, if you would. I'd like to analyze what you got, okay?
Well, send the videos?
Yeah, I'd like for a link or something that we could see it. We'll put a link on our website.
Everybody is saying just remarkable things. I've known Tom Biscardi personally now for 3 years, and I find myself in dismay that the Bigfoot community has not given credit where credit is due. Tom Biscardi is a phenomenal researcher working tirelessly in the field, exhausting every resource that is available. On and on it goes, and every one of them is basically saying the same thing. Now, if you were to listen to some of the other researchers, they would say that Tom Biscardi is discredited, everybody hates his guts, he's got no friends, and no one gives a shit about him. Well, that's apparently not true. In fact, what I've found out by going on the Internet is that you log more miles, and you go more places, more states, than any Bigfoot researcher in the world. There's no one that's
doing what you're doing. You hit it right on the head, man. If anybody needs verification of that, it's called documentation, ladies and gentlemen. Listen to what this young man said. Just go to searchingforbigfoot.com, go to the table of contents, and from A to Z, you'll see every state that we've been to in this union, okay? And it hasn't stopped because we keep going back. We want to get to the truth. We're not going to do it on a blog or a forum, ladies and gentlemen. The only way we're going to do it is out there in the field, just like this young man is doing out there in Florida. I praise you, Tim. Listen to me. I've got to go. I've got a ton of work yet to do here this evening, and it's here it is already, 9:25. Marco Bill, Alex, take it on from here. You're in good hands, Tim. Marco Bill is there, and Alex Hearn's there. Alex is like my own boy. He comes out on a lot of hunts with us. You'll see him on TV next month. I got to get going. God bless you, and thank you for sharing, taking a little bit of your time.
Appreciate the opportunity. Thank you.
We'll have you on again. Listen, you stay on now because the boys are going to take care of you. Marco, I'm going to tee over it back to you. Alex, I'll tee over it back to you. I'll call you guys later.
All right, okay,
bye.
Well, Tim, I want to thank you for coming on the show here. If you'd like, you can listen in. I've got you three-wayed in. I'm going to mute you out, though. I think I'm going to mute you out.
I'm
going to go on to our next guest. Is that all right?
Yeah, it's fine. I'm on the internet. I've got the show of the blog. I've got the show up on the on the page.
No
So everything is good for me. Yeah, have you ever had this kind of technical difficulty before?
It's not a technical difficulty. It's a telephone issue. If you try to dial in a certain telephone line, sometimes it has a problem dialing in. And it's not an issue with the place that you're dialing into. It's an issue with the telephone lines, the way they connect and all that stuff.
All right. So that was just a glitch for tonight.
Yeah, it happens. And I didn't know
what to do, so I figured I would just call you and let you know, hey, I didn't stand you up.
Not a problem at all, Tim. Thanks. Sorry, it took a few minutes. I had to go run and find another phone. Ran out of phone lines.
All right.
I'm gonna mute you out, and then we're gonna go on to the next guest, and you can listen in.
Okay. Thank you so much.
Yeah. Thank you, Tim, for coming on.
All right, Marco. Bye bye now.
Bye bye.
And Tim, if you're listening, if you're going to be up, I'll give you a call in a little while when the show ends, if you're going to be around yourself.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, that was Tim from Florida. And our next guest is Lisa from Texas. And Lisa, we're going to try to follow up on what's taken place since we've been there. The team was there a couple of weeks back, and 3 weeks, or yeah, about 3 weeks back, or a month back almost.
Yes.
And since then, Lisa, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Well, Alex, Lisa's had some interesting things going on. So, Lisa, would you like to just tell us how it is? Say hi to Alex.
Hi, Alex.
Hi, Lisa. How are you? How's everyone? How's your husband?
Doing good. Well, we've had some ups and downs out here. We found on some hikes, probably about a week after you guys had left out, and we actually did what appeared to be two bedding areas, very large bedding areas. And so we decided to back out of them and give it about a week, about a week and a half went by. And so we went back down to see if they were still appeared to be being used, and they were. You could tell there was activity in them, and it was like, okay, this is great. We're going to wait another week or two, and then we were going to come back with cameras and try to set cameras in the areas. And, well, we got down there last weekend and found that apparently locals or someone has come in and just pretty much destroyed the areas, both areas. So there has been no signs of...
Now, what did the areas look like? Was it a bunch of twigs put together to make a bedding?
The one area that we found was, it was like, how can I explain? It involved some of the trees that were still standing, and then it was almost as if the logs, I'm talking trees, 2 and 3 foot wide trees, old, that had fallen over just from natural, and had been drug up, and just over time, as if all the vines had grown up in the brush, and it was like something had wallowed it out. And when I'm talking an area, the area I'm talking about is like 10 by 12 area inside this little hut-like thing. And the entire ground around it was all the leaves that had blown in or had fallen on the ground previously were all mashed down and everything. And we had found, I was looking around and I had started seeing, now this is our first trip the day we found it, and I had started seeing these, I don't know if they're weeds or if they're a small tree that had been pulled up, when I say tree, I mean twig tree, but lots of them had been pulled up and had been dropped all on the ground in there. And I thought, well, they must be using this to eat or something. Maybe it's sweet grass or something, I don't know. And, well, my nephew chewed on a little bit of it, and it was kind of, he said it's tart tasting. Well, anyway, I said, well, we need to get on out of this area and go find Jeffrey, because Jeffrey was in another area looking. And so as we turned to walk out, on one of the logs I noticed there was a whole pile of that grass or weed, whatever it was, bunched up in a pile sitting on top of one of the logs. And with the wilting of it, they hadn't been wilted very long. It was obvious that they had been picked that day, that morning.
It's been fresh enough they were still green, huh?
Yes, yes, very, still very, very green. And anyway, so we exited that area, and so, you know, that'll be, you know, one we watch, and went and found Jeffrey, which is in a totally different area, about a half mile away. And what he found there was two very large, I mean, super large oak trees that had blown over in a storm where they grew up side by side, but then had been blown over. They left almost like a cave. The root ball system had been pulled up out of the ground, and there was almost like a cave there. So we got to look at it. Huh?
We found that exact same occurrence in a couple of locations up here in Arizona.
Uh-huh.
Mitch has found where something has hollowed out that cave in there even more.
Yes.
Put some branches in front to close off the opening. And he has some pictures up at his website and on the AZCRO forum.
And that's what we found. We found that whatever was using it, they hollowed it out even more.
Yeah.
And it's a big enough area that three adult size could fit in, three adult Bigfoots could fit in the area inside of the, I guess you call it a cave, a root cave is what we're calling it. But we
called it a cave too, nest, whatever.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, it was in the root ball.
Yes. Well, both areas have been, like I said, we went back this past weekend, which would have been our third visit there, and we were going to set cameras hoping to catch something, and they have both places have obviously been abandoned. So it was like, And then on the upswing, however, I have been setting fruit out in certain locations, specifically here at the house and around the house, not to give off too much location. And the fruit has been taken. Some nights overnight it's taken. Sometimes it's 2 days before it's taken. But this time, the last time I set it out was over this past weekend, and where it had been taken on Friday, so I set more back out on Saturday, and that fruit is still there, so nothing's picking it up. And it is up off the ground, I'll say that much, that it's off the ground where, you know, the ground critters can't get to it. So I really don't, other than that, I don't have much more going on.
You have a camera on that fruit?
Yes and no. On some of it I do, on some of it I don't. And that's the funny thing, too, because ever since we've been doing this, we do have more cameras now, and we've got game cams, and, of course, I got my regular the security cam that I have. Well, something keeps setting off the game cams, but we don't see anything in the pictures. Only one time, the first night we set the game cams out, we did get eye shine that once we went out and measured it the next day, you know, seen the pictures, measured it the next day, where we seen the eyes in the picture, went out, found the tree, and measured the eyes at about 10 foot high.
Now, what kind of game cams did you buy?
They are, see, I can't tell you offhand. They're pretty good ones. They do video and stills. Let me see. I've got to look at the name of them here.
Bushnell?
No, they're not Bushnell.
World View?
Okay, what is it? Is it Merlin?
No, don't matter. It's okay. You know what happens with those? Even the best ones have a little bit of a delay.
Uh-huh.
Some of the less expensive ones will have relatively long delay, especially if they're in sleep mode. They go to sleep, have to wake up first. That takes, you know, anywhere from 3 to 30 seconds to some of the really cheap ones, a minute. And then it can be pitches. But, you know, nowadays, a lot of them are better than that, but they still have a 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 second delay.
Oh, yeah.
When they turn on and they wake up. So, whatever, so if something went by real quick, it very well could be totally out of the picture, or it actually clicks the picture, even a good one.
Oh,
or,
absolutely.
Or it could be that a branch getting blown in the wind off in the distance, and that it's sensitive enough to start tripping the camera and start rolling video, taking pictures. You know, or a bird could fly.
Yeah.
Well, Lita, I just want to tell you, thank you so much for coming on tonight. I know you were sick last week, and I'm glad you're feeling better.
Thank you.
Just hang on and listen to the thing. We're going to have you back again, obviously, but check with you every week or so to see how you're doing and see how things are going, if that's okay with you.
Okay.
I appreciate it. And if you'd like, I'll mute you out. And we'll go on to our next guest, and thanks so much for coming on.
Okay. Thank you.
Who's next, Marco?
And next is our good friend Bruce Shield. Bruce, I think I unmuted you. No, I didn't. Now I did.
Hi, Bruce.
Oh, boys. How are you?
We're doing well.
Hey, Alex, before Bruce starts, see, Chuck Creel just dialed in, and Chuck wanted to say something to everybody. Chuck, go ahead.
Are you there?
Yeah, we're here. You go right ahead.
Hi.
When you wanna...
How's everybody doing?
We're doing great.
Doing well, Chuck. How are you, buddy?
I'm doing fine, young man. I just experienced a lot of things down here I ain't used to, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, you go through some trying times, and you're having some activity, too, at the same time.
It all
at the same time, don't it?
Well, I don't understand. I mean, this thing down here, it snowed down here this morning. I'm talking about in Alabama. And it blowed my mind. I mean, we had snowflakes. And... But what I was wanting to ask you, Bud, is Thanksgiving Day, I left my whole family and I went because somebody found a track and all that, blah, blah, blah. So we went over to this place and we went to this old house or something that had ramshackled, you know, in the middle of nowhere. And they just tore whatever it was. I don't know. It might have been teenagers, you know what I mean? But they just destroyed the inside of this house. And but when we walked out the back, we heard some of the god-awful howling noises you ever heard in your life. I mean, it's like when Tom come down here, and we heard it three nights in a row when we went down here where the cows was getting killed and all, same noise. I mean, and I was like, Lord, what the hell's going on? So what we did is we drove around to the back side of that property where it sounded like that them howling noises was going on, and I took up my night vision because we come on a field, and I looked through my night vision, and you know, Bud, what those hay bales are, those round hay bales. What are they? You know, 6 foot tall?
Wow.
I mean, the hay bales are what, 6 foot tall, something like that, right in that area?
Oh, you mean, yeah, when they ball them up easy, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, at least 6 foot, you know. Well, I took, and about 100 yards off, you know, straight in front of me, where we heard this howling noise come on, I put those, I took my night vision binoculars out, and I looked through there. I couldn't believe what I saw. I'll be honest with you. Something big, these things are at least 6 foot tall. This thing was at least 2 foot taller than that, because it blocked out the whole bell. You know, and the bells are what, 4 foot wide? You know? And it just blocked out that whole bell, and then it took a left-hand turn, and it walked right down into the swamp bottoms. And I was standing there, and I was going, what the crap? You know? And it was huge, you know, and black. It wasn't a shadow. It was huge and black.
Did you see it move? Did you keep staring at it?
Hey,
yeah, Chuck,
you're going to be on next week to describe all this. I thought you had something else to say, buddy.
Yeah.
Bruce Schultes is supposed to be on right now. I thought you had something that you wanted to say or ask a question or something. But I'm going to have you on for 15 minutes next week to tell the whole thing, you and Dee. And if you don't mind, we're getting behind right now with the show.
Hey, you have to tell, brother. Hey,
no,
I appreciate
okay.
it. And
no problem.
If y'all need something, now just let me know.
Yeah, you just hang on the line here, buddy.
All right.
Okay. Hey, Bruce.
Down there. That was a good story.
It was.
Yeah.
Well, he and Dee had a heck of a sighting here during Thanksgiving. I wanted to give a good portion of the show next week for him to go through and describe it with Tom and everything. Well, Bruce, how you been doing?
Oh, I've been terrific. I've been doing good. Haven't been sick this winter or nothing.
Well, this is the time in the season for stuff to happen around your area. What's been happening?
Well, about a week and a half ago or 2 weeks ago, there was a call to the Blackfeet Police Department that there was a creature up behind East Glacier, right up there where Tom stayed when he came here, the same little town. But they called a police station, and some of the police, I don't know, maybe three or four cars went up to try and shut this Bigfoot up. It was kind of terrorizing the town. It was back in the back of the town there. It was screaming real loud, and it was scaring the people. So the police went up there with their sirens, and I guess they stayed up there, I don't know, hours with their sirens on, trying to shut that thing up. And it must have finally shut up. But about the same time, I run into an old schoolmate, and he was asking me if there was any new sightings up around here. And I told him the latest ones that I had, but he said I took some pictures of a Bigfoot tracks. And he had them on his little phone camera. He showed them to me, and they were over maybe over 4 feet in the length of their stride, going right down the road. And this is right down below where Hiram Upham found that leg. His dog brought the leg up from the creek there.
Yeah.
From the video.
Yeah.
From the movie.
Yes. And then down the road a little ways is where he's seen the tracks. And then down the road a little bit further, there's a little Indian village called Star School. And this is where some of the Indians found a footprints down below their village or along the creek, and I poured some plaster casts of them. And this was on the north side of the creek, and on the south side of the creek is another ridge they call Red Blanket. And this is where me and my wife were up there, and we took a video of those two dark figures that were walking down below. We were searching for the Bigfoot tracks that Hiram's daughter was seen up there, and that was pretty interesting. There's some old praying rocks up there where the Indians pray, and they still use them today. But that's
so you got some things that are really going on there, huh?
Yeah, it's right in the middle. I mean, we live right in the middle of where all the Bigfoots, you know, the sightings and hearing and seeing them, taking pictures of them. Tony Beaudry took a picture of a Bigfoot up there on Divide in the burn area, but this was last year. But this is right in the middle of it, and it amazes me how Tom knows where to go, you know. He usually lands both feet right in the middle of Bigfoot country when he comes.
Yeah, I know.
Amazing,
isn't it?
Yeah.
Amazing. Hey, Alex, are you still there, buddy?
I am. I'm here. I muted out so I could cough. I muted back in.
Well, Bruce, I want to thank you for coming on and sharing tonight. Yeah, do me a favor. I mean, if anything happens, just give me a call anytime, and we'll get you on and again here to do it. I know this is the season. Right now is the season for you guys to have a lot of action around here. And a lot of snow, too, right?
Yeah, there is. It snows deep, and it was raining today. It thawed today, and it rained, but it's kind of snowing a little bit now. So.
Yeah. But I want you to thank you for coming on, Bruce. And I'll keep in touch with you here the next couple of weeks and make sure that we'll have you on again if there's some activity going on.
Yeah.
Thank you. Say hi to your son and your wife.
I sure will.
And God bless you guys.
We love you and we pray for you.
Thank you. And we do the same for you folks. Well, I want to mute you out, and then you can listen to the rest of the show. And we're going to go, and Alex, we're going to go, and we're going to talk with Mitch.
Excellent. Mitch, are you there?
Boy, I got to unmute him. Now, Mitch, if you take a look at www.bigfootlive.com, the radio webpage, underneath Mitch's, he's got a whole bunch of links there. And he's got three of them that are videos, and it's called Bigfoot Tracking, I think.
And Tracking?
Yeah, and that's what Mitch has sent me some links here yesterday to put up. It's pretty interesting. Go ahead, Mitch.
Yes, this last time out, we went up into the snow and tried to do some tracking. Unfortunately, equipment malfunctions. I had a flat tire, which took away some of my time. But we did find a set of prints going through the snow, and we stopped and put a pair of cameras on that. We're having to pair our cameras up now because one camera by itself, it gets messed with, and we get the camera looking off up into the sky or down in the dirt. So we pair the cameras up to where they're offset slightly to where they can kind of watch each other, and hopefully we'll catch the culprit.
Great job, Mitch. Marco has a great slideshow of all your photos of the command center and your antenna array and everything. What else did you guys have happen in the past week and a half since we spoke to you?
Well, I'm kind of grounded right at the moment. I had a rather large boulder fall on the back of my leg, and it kind of cut me up a little bit to where I can't put my boot on. So I'm grounded for about a week.
Did that happen at home or out in the field?
That was out in the field.
Cool.
It's nothing serious. It's just too painful to walk around in a boot out in the snow.
Wow. Wow. I suppose if I had been paying attention to the forum, I'd know that already, huh? I'm sorry.
No problem. However, you know, I'd like to make a few comments about those root balls that you guys were talking about.
Yeah, I was hoping you would, actually. I was hoping you would. I hope Tim's still listening. Excuse me, I hope Lisa's still listening, because those sound exactly like what you found. Go ahead, Mitch.
Yes, from, you know, what we studied on I don't know if it was a nest or a trap or ambush point or shelter, it looked as if the hole was continued and dug out by using sticks. There were no shovel marks, and it looked like the sticks would break from time to time, so there was a bunch of these little sharp sticks laying around. And then the dirt that was pulled out of the hole was big enough that my son climbed down in it, and there was plenty of room to move around inside there. But a lot of dirt had to be removed, and none of it, as you know, because you saw it, was sitting in the mouth of the entrance. It had all been moved and scattered where you couldn't even tell somebody had been digging there.
Right, a pile of dirt outside the stump.
Yeah, and then the branches that were broken off, they were piled up in the entrance to where you couldn't see the entrance. You know, once those branches were pulled in and closed it off. So it was a nice, tight little shelter.
Right, right. And you found more than that one that we couldn't tell what it was. I mean, it looked like something had been staying in there, but it also looked like the ambush point. It was strategically located right at a convergence of deer trails and elk trails. But you found others, too. You found one that was more like a grave, very shallow, with leaves covering it, right? Branches, not leaves. And
right.
Something had placed the branches or brush there. And you found another one where you crawled in, too. Was that also from a fallen tree?
No, that was completely made out of pine needles. It was actually almost like a pine needle hut. And it was about 12 foot long. About 5 feet tall and about 6 feet wide. Had an opening at the end that you could crawl into. And, you know, that was way back in there, and it had,
right?
Say again?
That one had an occupant, right?
Yes, it did.
Little surprise waiting for you at the other end of the tunnel. I guess we didn't find out, right?
Well, we backed out, and because we didn't want to push our luck, so we put a camera on the entrance, and you know, hopefully we're going to let whatever it was climb out and get a picture of it. But what we got instead was a great big, huge, hairy arm that
the camera
took a picture of.
Wow.
Our reasoning behind that was is if it was a baby Bigfoot, mom wasn't going to be too far away, and all we needed to do was just make that thing cry out and, you know, be afraid, and mom would come and fix our wagons for us. So we backed off a little bit and tried to let our cameras do the work, you know.
We got 2 minutes.
Okay, Marco. Mitch, real quick, give us your website and the quickest link to your photos or your YouTube videos.
It's all on www.bigfootalive.com.
Hey, there you go. If you go to YouTube alone, it's under Susan Farnes, short for Susan Farnsworth. So that's a...
Get it all at mogionmonster.com, which is your website. Mitch, Marco has great links on the Bigfoot Live website, bigfootlive.com, and of course you can actually come chat and ask you questions at the AZCRO forum.
Yes.
When's the next time you're going to get out there, Mitch?
Probably next week, as soon as I can get my boot back on and walk around with it. I'll be back out there.
So the rock falling on you isn't even going to get you home for the holidays, huh? You're going to be right back at it.
Yeah, all it did was just scrape me up a little bit. It didn't break anything or nothing like that. It just cut me up, so I'll survive.
Well, thank you too much, Mitch. We're going to see you again next week. But thanks for coming on the show. We got 1 minute. We need to sign off. Alex, do the honors and say good night.
Good night, everybody. Kudos and salutations. Bigfootin'.
1967, my whole life changed. I went to the libraries to find out all I could find out about Bigfoot. We went out to prove that this creature exists.
I turned, I saw this thing standing by my gator. You see something big like that, you figure, well, maybe it'll come charging.
There were these tents up in Boston.
When I saw the actual footprints, I realized they were something special and probably Sasquatch.
Yes, Bigfoot lives.
We're looking at something that's probably over 500 pounds.
We would hear screams, like break in day. We'd hear these siren-type screams.
But it is
size and everything else. They just were too realistic
and
to be
frozen like a trimmed
manufacturer.
The hand was freaking
into the woods.
Female.
Bigfoot lives. A movie right now. At www.searchingforbigfoot.com.
Well, folks, once again, it's time to say so long. We'd like to thank Mr. Tom Biscardi and his guests, Java Bob and the Bigfoot team for joining us, and we'd especially like to thank you, our listeners, for tuning in. This is Marco Bill saying see you next Wednesday evening for some more Bigfoot Live radio show entertainment with Mr. Tom Biscardi and his team. And until then, keep the Bigfoot live and keep Bigfooting. See you next week.
Three men with a gold and a pack that they'd hold and a promise till the day that they died. Answers to the questions no one's found before. Driving determination, the only key they had to unlock the door. Monsters, myths, and mysteries, legend, tales, and facts. What brought them together? Reason for the facts.